Heavenly Father, we submit ourselves to you and the authority of your word so that we would hear, and we depend on your spirit so that we might hear the spiritual truths that we might not otherwise see in our natural minds. And we want to hear from you, Lord God. We want to understand you through your word. So help us towards this end. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. So it's funny, at the same time I find I got two things going on inside of me. I've got this a desire to change, to be that person that I've always wanted to be. Then at the same time, I resist any change that comes into my life. Have you guys felt that same tension? It is an odd thing. We want to be different, but we really don't like the process of becoming different. Well, today we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit actually does change us, whether we even want to participate or not. But hopefully we do want to participate in the Lord's working in our life. This work of transformation, it is part of our spiritual life that God not only saves us, but then that he transforms us. He changes us into the image of Christ. And really that is the work of the Spirit. As we read the scriptures, I find that sometimes God, as in God the Father, is the subject of the transformation, meaning that we see that God changes people. Sometimes we read and we see that Jesus changes people. And other times we read that the Spirit changes people. And really, I think, though, that we can recognize the Holy Spirit's role as the agent in all that spiritual work that takes place in us and on us and through us, really. So we're looking at this section of the scriptures that talk about the Spirit's role, and I'm trying to mine out from God's word how the Spirit changes individuals in the church and how he changes the church as a corporate body. So today we'll look at that, and we'll look at what the Spirit is changing us into. He's changing us from who we are into something. What is he doing in our life? And then we'll take a look at how he does that work. And finally, what's our part in this work of the Spirit transforming us? So the first there, what is the Spirit changing us into? And that's the first point on your little outlines that we hand out there for you to keep your attention and your focus and be a little spot for some notes. What's the Spirit changing us into? Well, individually, looking at us individually first, there is the whole, go all the way to the beginning. Mankind and the existence of mankind, he changed Adam from non-existence to existence. You read the Genesis account and you certainly see the Holy Spirit was there. He was the agent for bringing God's creation into being. And we see that with Adam. Adam there with the raw materials that God created of dirt in God's hand was fashioned. And we see that God blew into his nostrils the breath of life. An allusion to the Spirit's work of giving Adam life. And then you go to the last Adam, who is Jesus Christ, and we see that when he came, Jesus the Nazarene, that is the man Jesus, how was he brought into existence? And you read the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1, and you see that, well, the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and it was through the power of the Spirit that Jesus the Nazarene was conceived. So we see the Holy Spirit is involved in bringing man into being, whether it's the first Adam, the last Adam, or us. Psalm 39, verse 13 says, the psalmist is talking, and he's talking to God, and he says, "For you formed my inward parts. You, God, formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. So I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So certainly the psalmist and the rest of the scriptures testify that we are actually products of God's creative activity. And it is the Holy Spirit that is probably the direct agent of that creation. So the Spirit is seen in his transformation. He transformed nothing into Adam. He transformed us and formed us from before we existed and brought us into existence. But we also see, if we look at Ephesians chapter 2 in the beginning of that, that Paul pictures us as being dead in our trespasses and sins. Spiritually dead. We're alive, but we're spiritually dead. Dead in the sense that we're not living the life that God has called us and created us and redeemed us to live. So there's a spiritual death. But then Ephesians, that same verse there, Ephesians 2, you can look at 1 through 7-ish later on, but it says that God made us alive together with Christ. So there is a bringing from spiritual death into spiritual life that I think we can rightly attribute to the work of the Spirit. John chapter 3, Jesus has the same thought there. Verse 5 of John 3 says, truly, truly, this is Jesus talking, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So there is this thought of even though people were born the first time naturally, as we all were from our mother's womb, there is a we are participants in Adam's fallen nature and therefore are actually estranged from God and what God calls dead. We're dead even though we're alive. So it is the act of the Spirit that brings us life out of that spiritual deadness. And we look at various terms, being born again, regenerated, renewed. All these terms are applied to that, to our new life that we have, our spiritual life. So that is a way in which the Spirit transforms us. He transforms us from not knowing Jesus to knowing him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, part of that verse reads, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Thought that kind of caught my attention this week as I was reading the 1 Corinthians 12 for some other stuff for the Sacred Space class. And I thought that was interesting. Let me pass that one by you again. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That means that you guys and I, we don't even know, much less say, that Jesus is Lord except by the work that the Holy Spirit has done in us to enable us to see that truth to be true. So we didn't figure him out apart from him. His work in us, the Holy Spirit's work in us, gave us eyes to see the reality of Jesus and him as our Lord. So the Holy Spirit changes us from not knowing Jesus to knowing him. The Holy Spirit changes us from spiritually ignorant to spiritually wise. Growing up, before I knew the Lord, until I got into my college years, I've shared this before, who was Jesus to me? Well, he wasn't really on my radar. He was a sort of like Santa Claus. He was the person that some people believed in, but certainly when you grew up, when you started to think for yourselves, you would kind of see that he was just a mythical feature. That is what I kind of how I grew up, and I really didn't think much about Jesus in my youth. But what does the Spirit do? Well, the Spirit brings us in front of us and into us and into the reality of knowing spiritual truth. First and foremost, the truth of Jesus Christ. And it was not on my horizon who Jesus was. It wasn't on my horizon who that God was. I was just kind of living life as if those realities didn't exist. the Holy what? The Holy Spirit? What is that? Salvation? Salvation from what? When I first heard the gospel, actually, it didn't make any sense at all that we could be saved. I thought, saved from what? You know, so it wasn't there. So, but it is the Holy Spirit ministering in our life that brings us these truths in front of us and actually even causes them to come up on our radar in the first place. The Holy Spirit is the one that changes us from selfish to selfless. And we have seen in this last week, those of you who are in sacred space have seen that we are all born with a very self-focused perspective, a self-referential perspective is what Kit called it. And that is true. I certainly see that to be the case in my own life. We have, I shared with our Bible study during the week, sorry guys for the repeat, but I was a nice guy in high school. And I liked being a nice guy. And I used to think that I was a nice guy because I was a nice guy. But actually, if I'm honest, I was a nice guy because being a nice guy served me well. I was a nice guy because I wanted people to think I was a nice guy. So I didn't do acts of kindness for somebody because I really wanted that person's good. What I really wanted was that person to think that I was a nice guy. Do you hear that? So even nice guys have a self-referential perspective and we do things so that will reflect somehow to our advantage. And I think that is the natural mindset. We do things apart from our reformation in the Lord. We do things that we do so that it will come back in a positive way on us somehow. That's the natural mindedness. And I think it's the Spirit that changes us from that to the type of people that can actually give of ourselves in such a way that is for somebody else's good and their good alone, with no, not looking for the return that comes to us. May He continue His work in my life and in yours. He changes us, the Spirit does, from the old man to the new creature. He changes us from kind of what I would call wimpy to powerful. In Acts 1:8, says Jesus is saying, hey, wait in Jerusalem till you receive the Holy Spirit. And when He comes, you will receive power to be my witnesses. And you see that as you go through the book of Acts. We've been doing that for the last couple weeks, and we've seen the difference that the Holy Spirit makes. It made a huge difference in Peter's life. Mr. All Words, No Action all of a sudden turns into this guy who is able to stand his ground by the power of the Spirit in him and give testimony to the things of God in a very effective way that God uses to bring many, many people into His kingdom. So we're familiar with that. We are changed from not being like Christ to being like Christ. We are changed from fallen to redeemed. All this stuff, all these changes that you guys know of, and you can't even read the scripture without coming across these things. We are changed, and we are changed, we are transformed, and the agent of that is the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think it's about us, but really, it is about the Holy Spirit. None of us can really do that work in ourselves that causes spiritual change in us. We are the wonderful, loved people that God changes through His Spirit. Well, that's looking at us sort of individually. Let's take a little look at us corporately. Just as the body is more than, you know, one member, more than a finger or a toe, or a building is more than one stone, other images there. Well, certainly the church is more than any one individual, any one person. And just as God through the Spirit transforms us as individuals, which He does in all those ways we just talked about, He also transforms His church as a group, as a corporate gathering. We have seen how Jesus has said, I will build my church. Even in that phrase, I will build my church, from Matthew 16, He's building. It's a think of a construction project. It is ongoing. It is working. I will build my church. And He is even now building His church. And following the Pentecost event we've been looking at, Luke records that the Lord was adding to their number daily. So adding to their number, going from smaller to larger, from fewer people to more people. Peter also talks about he's talking to a group of people, and he says, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. So there is this process that is sort of applied to the church as a whole. It always involves the individuals, but the individuals as they're related to the rest of the church. So he's building us up. He's building us up into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Individually, you guys are temples of the Holy Spirit, clearly the scripture says. But collectively, we are also a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And that language that from those passages that I kind of rapid-fired you with there, make it clear that God is changing His church, individual members and corporately, by way of adding to its numbers, by way of building, by way of growing it, according to His designs and according to His purposes. And I do like Peter's image of a physical building. He says, that we are living stones being built on the cornerstone of Christ and on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That he kind of gives us that picture to work with. And I picture this big cornerstone, which is Christ, and other stones, which we are all a part of. And go with me for a little bit. There's a construction company. We'll call it Trinity Construction Partners, all right, if you get where that language is going. And picture yourself passing by it. So I'm going to picture myself passing by it. Now, every day I pass by it on my way to work, and I see this building growing. And the foundation work is there, and then some stones are there, and I go by at the beginning of the day, I go by the end of the day, and it's growing, and it's changing. And as I go by one time, there's a whole other wall completed. It's being built up. Then I go by another day, and that which had been roughed in is actually the finishing work has been done, and the stones that were placed are now looking even better. I go by another day, and a wall maybe is actually disassembled. And I go by the next day, and that disassembled wall is put up in an even better way. And so just this image of a changing, morphing, growing, building structure, that is what God is doing in the church. He is building us. It is what He's doing actually with us. I have grown. This last year has been really rich for me because I think of the studies that we've done in sacred space. It's been a time of getting a very cool new perspective that has helped me get a grip on God's Word in a way that even I'm 30 years into my Christian life has been very, very helpful. I know that some of you have benefited in that same way. He's growing me individually, and I think He's growing the church also. Certainly as we look at the numbers, I wouldn't say He's growing us numerically, but He is growing us in our depth. He is shaping, He is fashioning, He is fitting together. He is building the building according to His intention. That's part of the transformation, the transformative work that I think the Spirit is doing in our lives. He's shaping us individually and fitting us together corporately that we would be His dwelling place in the Spirit. So He's doing that. It's an ongoing work. I thank the Lord that it's an ongoing work. It is a work that Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." There is this ongoing nature that God continues to work on us. He continues to show us new things about Himself and about ourselves and about how we're to live together. He brings us along. And on the one hand, I can look at that and kind of go, I feel like I'm kind of digging a hole, and the hole has no end because it's going to keep growing. I keep learning more. But on the other hand, on a more positive perspective, you can see yourself on this continual journey with the Lord. And He is bringing you around a new corner almost every day and giving you another glimpse of Himself and another glimpse of His will. And as you do that, then it's this wonderful unfolding of His plan, and you get to see see him at work in your life, and you get to be sharpening yourself. But it's interesting to look at our spiritual lives. I'm not sure how many of you, I don't know, we'll see. I feel like I've grown significantly in the last year for this course of study that we've been doing. And I hope that there's a whole bunch of you who have likewise grown in that way. But it's funny. That I kind of was analyzing myself, and I think I do this. I think I figure something out, and I go, ah, that's it. I got it now. And I kind of have my little learning lesson, and then I go running with that for a while, and think I've finally figured it out, you know. And then a little bit later, you discover something else, whether it's through a hardship, or through somebody else bringing some new wisdom in, or through the Holy Spirit and you with the Scripture. But then we discover something else. We go, oh. That's how that works out. You know, I never actually had figured that out before. And then you figure out, now, good, now I've got it. And so you go running off thinking that now you've got it. Well, it seems like the Lord's going to keep on doing that all the days of our life, which calls us, as I've been lobbying for to be these lifelong learners, humble enough to learn some more and to let go of the stuff that is not biblically based, and to grab hold of that next lesson that's a little bit clearer, a little bit better, a little bit sharper, thanks to the work of the Spirit transforming us and bringing new truth to light. So, what's the Spirit changing us into? You know what? I think the Spirit is changing us into Christ's body in fact, not just in name. So I know mentally, I'm part of the body of Christ. But there's a different thing between kind of getting a grip on it intellectually, that I'm a part of the body. Yeah, just like a finger is attached to the body, I'm a part of the body. There's another thing to actually understand and buy into and be that in reality. If I am that in reality, then I'm completely connected to each of you guys, and you guys to us. And I do more than loving actions towards you, but I actually love you. So I think that what the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in our church is he's changing us not from a body by name, but to a body in fact, Christ's body in fact. Well, how is he doing this? How does the Spirit change us? That's the second point on your outlines. Well, the Spirit changes us by means primarily, we've already seen this, I hope it's not new, by means of His Word. The Spirit changes us by means of His Word. His Word, you can think of His Word in regards to Jesus Himself. John 1 and verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and He saw His glory." We saw His glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Interesting. So Jesus Himself is called the Word. And of course He was. He is the personification of the revelation of God to us. That's what He was. He was God incarnate, living out in front of us what had been spoken before. So God changes us according to the Word, and the Word is actually Jesus Himself, all right? And we certainly know that Jesus Himself does change us. His gift of Himself on the cross changed things. It changed us from unforgiven to forgiven. It changed us from unredeemed to redeemed. So certainly Jesus Himself is transformative. And God also uses the Word in the sense of the gospel. The gospel is also considered the Word. Romans 1:6, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Wow, so the gospel is the power of God to salvation. The Holy Spirit uses the proclamation of the gospel, the message of the gospel communicated, to bring salvation to everyone who is being saved. The power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So I see it and I think it's correct to see that the Spirit of God uses the message of the gospel for everyone's salvation. That means that none of you guys were here as believers in Jesus Christ apart from the Holy Spirit using the gospel message in your life to bring you into a relationship with God, a redeemed salvation relationship with God. The Word of God, of course, is also seen in all the Scriptures. Your very common passage, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. You know it well. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching. For each of these words I'm about to read, think with me on the change that happens with these words. The Word of God, it says here, is inspired and profitable for teaching. So, changing us from unlearned to learned. For reproof, changing us from one who needed some sort of word challenging us to the one who received the word. For training, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate. Change from inadequate to adequate. Equipped from unequipped to equipped for every good work. So even in there, you won't find the word change or transform in there. But that is a very is a verse that speaks of God and His Word being extremely transformative. It is what God's Word does. It changes us. And it does so through the power of the Spirit. John 17:17, I hope, is a familiar verse to you. It's so short and so good and so to the point. Jesus says, sanctify them. Jesus is praying to His Father in heaven. Sanctify them, He says, in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them. Change them from unholy to holy. Sanctify them from through the power of what? Sanctify them by means of what? In the truth. Your word is truth. So I just want to drive home the fact that God's Spirit uses God's Word in all of its manifestations, all its meaning of God's Word, for the transformation of His people. All right. So God's Word is instrumental. How does God work His transformation? Well, certainly through His Word. All right. Also, the Spirit changes us by means of His body. All right. By means of His body. Let me read for you. Ephesians chapter 4, verses, I'm going to start you off in verse 11 and go through 16. Ephesians 4. And as I read, you guys are not new to this verse either, but this verse is critical to the life of the church. It says, and He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to what end? To the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. What is He doing in us? Until we attain to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. He's changing us through the power of the body life, each of us using our gifts, so that we would grow up into Christ. Let's keep going in verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children, so we're to grow up, tossed here and there by every waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness, to deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So here we have this undeniable truth that God chooses to use the body members and their gifts that He has given each of us for the building up of the edification, the spiritual maturity of each other. And as we are grown up individually, that also has a corporate aspect. And he takes a local church and He takes the church universal and He makes it the dwelling place of God, His dwelling place, according to His design. And He does that. I want you to see that He does that through the body. So the Spirit uses those two means that I want you to see. Both the Word of God and the body of Christ are instrumental and even like considered tools in the hand of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the purpose of transformation in the people of God. See that. Take note of it. The Spirit changes us in regeneration. He changes us in sanctification. And there is even hope for the future as we will be glorified in the future when Christ comes again, an ultimate transformation. Changed as 1 Corinthians 15 talks about, change from perishable to imperishable. At the final, a change of it all will be this victory that we get over death, and this change from mortal to immortal in our union with Christ, that we even have that to look forward to. But the Spirit causes the growth of the body in the corporate level. And let me just leave this last scripture with you before I go on to what our part is. One more scripture. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7 says this. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Paul here is talking in 1 Corinthians 12. He's describing spiritual gifts, and he's describing their proper use in the context of a local church, right? So he says in verse 4 again, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Verse 7, focus on that. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That thought that we are given spiritual gifts for the common good. I don't want us to miss that. I want us to hear that. Because if we do not use our gifts, then we are actually kind of hurting the body. That which leads us right to what our part is. What is our part? If the Spirit of God transforms individuals and the church, well, what's our part? If the Spirit's doing that work, am I to be doing some supplemental work or what? And the first thing I want to make very clear is that for any spiritual work, it is first and foremost and definitively the work of God in us. All right. So what is our part really is totally a supplemental question to the main reality. The main reality is that God is working on us. God is transforming us. And it's His Spirit that is doing that work. And we must not think that we can employ human exercise or human steps to get God's purposes. Certainly we want to be involved. I love the way actually Romans 12, and it's a very familiar passage to you, but bring it to your mind. I'll read it for you. Romans 12, just verses 1 and 2, especially verse 2. And in fact, we'll just read verse 2 only here today. Paul, again, exhorting the church in Rome, and he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I love the grammar of that. I've mentioned it before. Be transformed. It is a command, so it's an imperative. Be transformed, but it's given in passive mood, which means that you are that somebody else does the transforming. But yet he commands us to be transformed. But it doesn't say go out and transform yourselves, but to be transformed. It's a very interesting phrase, and I think it fits totally with what the acknowledging that it's God that transforms, but it's nonetheless, He's calling us to be an active part of that transformative process. Just let your eyes go there a little bit longer. It says, and do not be conformed to this world. So I think one of our first parts that we can do, our part in this whole spiritual work of transformation, our part is to recognize, first of all, that there are other forces that do shape, that do exist to conform you. Do not be conformed to this world. And I don't know about you, but it's just my personal experience that if we put it in neutral and the default mode, that is what happens. We are conformed by the forces of this world. It is just what happens to us when we go neutral in regards to things. There's forces in this world. And then the positive side there, but be transformed. I would say it this way. Be a willing participant in what God is doing in your life. Be a willing participant. I think that we don't want to find ourselves in the driver's seat at all. It's not about us, but we do want to recognize that God is calling us to action. So what does that look like? Well, in my mind, it looks like at least an awareness that it is the Spirit's work, but we want to put ourselves there. And how do we put ourselves there? Knowing that God's Holy Spirit uses His Word and His body. But we want to put ourselves in the place of active listeners and lookers at what the truth that is being revealed to us in God's Word. And we want to, since He uses the body, we want to make sure that we're integrally involved, not just tangentially so, in the life of the church. All right? So that we are using our gifts and people are using their gifts for us, on us. So I think that I'll throw this line out to you, too. We want to live in the awareness of who we are in Christ by virtue of His indwelling Spirit. Who are you in Christ by virtue of His indwelling Spirit? The Bible uses lots of terms. You know, you are new creatures in Christ. And I want to, because we get to celebrate communion today, I want to bring forth that this thought. That we have eaten of the bread of life, and which is Jesus. We have taken Him into ourselves through faith. And having Him in us, we are new creatures in Christ. The old man has died. New things have come. And that new thing that has come is a born-again person for each of you that has a new life. You are transformed from the very moment you were saved. And you are in the process of being transformed right now. But this reality of you guys as having a whole separate new life, that is something that needs to be grasped by faith. We tend to only get our head around the things that we can see by sight. But what the Scripture calls us to is that we would call reality those things that are accessible to us by faith. So we are to walk, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And that is a part and parcel with this. So what's our corporate part in the Spirit's work? Well, it is using the gifts that God has given us. And upon some reflection, I recognize that I'm actually, and I look at things, I'm actually probably one of the biggest hurdles for this church, because I have a tendency, and it's a dangerous thing, I think, for a leader to have this tendency. I have the tendency to want to do everything by myself. I hate bothering people, you know. But what I recognize is that if this body is going to be the body, then every person has to be bringing what they have to the good of the body. I see this in regards to setup and teardown. Sorry to get so practical, but had a couple health issues, and they're going to say, Johnny, you can't actually do setup and teardown without causing significant pain to your body. So I recognize I don't want to bother anybody to do that, you know. But I think that meeting together on Sunday morning is a good thing, and it needs to be done. So if I am a roadblock, I will say, don't worry, I'll get it done myself. But if I'm not, I'll say, you guys need a little help. So you guys need a little help on this, and I've already burnt these two guys out who have bled with me for 2.5 years. So some of you guys who may have a little physical ability need a little help on that one. But that actually manifests itself time and time again. So I see a danger in my own, in myself. I'm a roadblock to the church in as much as I don't allow everybody to be using their spiritual gifts. So here's my exhortation. What's our part? Well, help on Sunday morning and on Monday through Saturday. Regard yourselves as holders of something God has entrusted to you, that you would bring it to bear on the good, for the good of the body. And day by day, use what He has given you for the good of the body. If you don't, we're going to be kind of the one-legged hop thing. If you do, we can fly. All right? So that's my exhortation there. What I want to do as we celebrate communion, to prepare to celebrate communion, I'm going to ask us to pray for each other. Because as we read, those of you who are doing Sacred Space, we read about the importance of the body and how people celebrate communion. We typically celebrate communion kind of as a thing that we do individually, and it focuses on our individual relationship with the Lord. But what I recognize from that lesson that we've been through and from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is that there is very much a body, a corporate element to the sharing of communion. And if we come and only live in an isolated way, we don't do justice to what God has intended for communion. Lord, we thank You for this beautiful body that You have allowed us to be a part of, this body of Christ. We recognize that it is You, Lord Jesus, at the head of this body. And we look to our right and look to our left, and we thank You that You have included us together to be the members of the body of Christ. And as we come to the table, I pray that we would rightly discern the body of Christ that You have placed us into, and that no one here would look to themselves and think the end of the story of their Christian life is with them alone. And I pray that we would see the importance of our connectedness one to another. And as we come, Lord God, to the table, may we appreciate the bread that stands for the body of Christ and the cup which stands for the new covenant in Jesus' blood. And may both of those elements cause us to know and remember and appreciate and depend on and live in the awareness of the defining, freeing work of Christ on the cross. And may we look beyond even the cross to the new life that is secured for us as new creatures in Christ. And may we live according to the design of Your life in the richness of the new creation. And may that primary expression which comes out of our new creature lives, may that be love towards one another. May that love be active and seen and effective for the building up of the body of Christ. It is in His name that we pray. Amen.